Hello, this is Yara Stark, and welcome to a group mastermind coaching call. Thank you for joining us today. Just getting started now, I'm going to give the usual instructions for anyone. We might have some new people on the call today, and also just as a refresher, as it's our first call for 2010. So I have not switched on lecture mode as yet. In a moment, I will turn on lecture mode, and then you'll have the ability to raise your hand. So how the system works is I can see an online control panel, which lists every single person on this call. And when I turn on lecture mode, you'll then be able to raise your hand by pressing the star and then the 9 key on your telephone dial pad or your Skype dial pad. And when you do that, a little icon changes in my control panel next to your name. And that tells me that you want to ask a question, that you've raised your hand. And then one by one, I will just click that hand and that person will be made live. When it's your turn, you'll receive a little audio notice that your line has been made live. And then just say hello and ask your question, and myself and Gideon will interact. That's a good time for me to say hello to Gideon.
Hey, Yaro, and everyone else on the call. I'm looking forward to this call. It's our first one for the year, and I'm sure we'll have lots of really cool questions, and I'm looking forward to answering all of them for you. Well, all of the ones that get directed to me anyway. Yara will answer the rest.
Let's hope so. So if you haven't already jumped in the chat room, you're welcome to do that. That was a big fat link on the teleconferences page. You should have seen that there. And it's a little bit different. What it does is when it opens up, it'll actually have the teleconferences page and then the chat room in a frame to the right. And then what you can do is type in there. And I don't know if anyone else has been able to start any conversations there. I'm not seeing any besides the hi there that I've written. But if you guys are going, just please begin. Now, that chat room is not designed to get our assistance in terms of the question and answer sessions. It's just there so you guys can interact with each other while we're answering questions from other people. We find that it's often a great place where people who are participating in the call can offer their kind of feedback as well. And often sometimes there'll be a link that you guys know about that we don't know about or things like that. And we'll type in links there too, just so people can see the text version of the what we're saying on the line, if there's any website addresses we refer to.
Sorry, before you continue, I'm just noticing that I'm not seeing your text in there, and I'm typing stuff in there. I'm not sure if you can see mine, so I'm not sure if it's
not
working.
Okay, so we're getting everyone's getting their own unique chat room, so you can talk to yourself, I guess.
yes.
All right, so we might have to, I don't know, Gideon, if you want to have a quick look around and see that our previous chat room provider is active, and while this call is live, I can change the link if we can get that, if they're still going.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
I'll keep going with the instructions. So, okay, so that's pretty much everything. The only thing left is questions from the forum. So as you would have received an email from us with a link to the private members forum where you can leave questions in advance. I'm looking at least 4 questions in there right now from members who did do that. So we'll reply to those questions in between the live questions. So we'll try and alternate between live questions and forum questions. And of course, if you ever can make a call, you're welcome to use that forum. And that forum specifically if you want us to respond live on the call. So if you just want to interact in the forum, you can use one of the other forum areas there. Okay, that sums up everything. This call is now being recorded too, so bear that in mind. This will be redistributed as a recording to other members of our programs. And if you don't want to use your real name for any privacy concerns, maybe just use your first name or use your nickname or just say hello and ask your question. However, I do encourage you to use this as a promotional tool as well. So don't be afraid to mention your website address. And when you ask a question, as everyone else listening and everyone who listens in the future on a recording will also listen to your website address. So I can't promise waves of traffic, but every little bit helps. And one thing I have forgot to mention, you're welcome to ask any question on these calls. The participants here are members of Become a Blogger Premium, Blog Mastermind, Membership Site Mastermind, and certain VIPs that we invite along as well. And we're talking about a whole range of topics from how to make money from blogging to obviously how to make money from membership sites and information products and how to do online product launches, how to do general internet marketing. Anything along those lines is certainly invite it as a question, and you shouldn't feel that any questions are too obvious or easy or possibly too difficult as well, and we'll do our best to answer with what we know about. So I can't promise miracles, but so far we've been on a good run, so hopefully we can help you. So, Gideon, any word on that chat room?
No, I'm still trying to look for a replacement, Yara. Can you remember the name of that previous one that we used?
Let me just check. I might have it saved in the copy. I don't think so. Yeah, I like the chat room, so it'll be good to have it up.
Well, I'll keep searching, Yara, if you can't find it quickly, and see if I can come up with something during the call.
Yep. Okay. All right, I'm going to switch over to lecture mode now, so give me 2 seconds. Okay, hand raising is now on, so you guys and girls can press star 9 on your dial pad or your Skype pad, and your hands will be raised, and up they come. All right, we'll move to the first caller. Hello, caller, you're live. If you are speaking, caller, we can't hear you, so you might want to check the settings on your microphone, perhaps, or your telephone, if you mute yourself.
Or speak louder.
Yeah. No? Okay. We'll give you a chance to try this again, and maybe you can fix up your any technical issues that are going wrong at your end. But we'll move on to the next caller. So you'll have to raise your hand again, caller. All right, next caller.
Hey, guys, it's Mitch. How are you?
Hey, Mitch. Good, thanks. How
are
you?
Hey, Mitch.
Hi. My internet is down, so I can't even see your chat room that's down. But, yeah, I had a question for you guys, and I started to talk about it in the forum a couple weeks ago, and then you guys said to bring it up on the call instead, and that was about the membership site Mastermind. I have an idea for a member. Well, you guys know this, that I'm probably at the point where I could have it. I don't want to have a membership site, but I want to have a premium area to my site. Just trying to think if that's relevant to the membership site Mastermind course that you're teaching, and if it would be beneficial to me. I know that everything I've ever done with you guys has been extremely beneficial. It's been a great run so far. So what I want to do is just have a section of my site where I offer premium information, but still I want to give out everything that I give out now for free, still for free.
Right.
And then have another section of the site where people pay, a small price every month, and I have like annual subscriptions, discounts for that. Probably get some of my sponsors to give some swag with that also, maybe some t-shirts and stuff. And my sponsors are they're so nice, and they've all been real. They're always really forthcoming with the anything I've ever asked them for. They've always come through. So,
Okay. Obviously, I created all the content in membership site Mastermind, so I know it intimately. Given what description you're making, Mitch, I have to say, obviously, I think you'll get something out of it. It's probably not exactly on the same model as you're looking to do. It's very close. The only difference is, by the sounds of things, you're probably not looking to do a large launch campaign when you put out the membership site. You're just going to write a blog post. You're going to add some, buttons and banners across your site saying there's a premium option to join the site, and sell memberships that way. So, I have an entire module in that program devoted to doing a launch campaign, which is designed to get you a lot of members in a short period of time, and use affiliates, give away a lead resource. So there's a whole launch style technique there that you can implement to get a lot of members in a short period of time. You'll use some sort of scarcity in a time frame of maybe a week or something like that. So that may not be exactly relevant, but I think there's a lot in there for what you're trying to do in terms of just even things like the basics of the technical systems, the psychology behind why we give away a free resource, you know, how to integrate that. I don't think you'd replicate exactly what I teach in there. I think in your model, you're looking to do more of the sort of general subscription model on an ongoing basis for premium content rather than a course or something like that. But it's very, very relevant. So I guess my simplest advice here is, Mitch, is just take it and go through the program. And at any point, if you think you're not, like if it's veering in a direction where it's just not helping you at all, just let me know and you know, you get your money back and we'll stop the program. But, you know, I don't know what you don't know. So it's always hard for me to kind of guess where you're coming from.
I don't know much. Yeah. I think I've only got to chapter 7 of the Blog Mastermind originally. My site is sportschatplace.com. I didn't say that originally, but I will say it. I have a new template design coming out in the next 2 days. It's going to be beautiful. You guys are going to be psyched. I'll post it in the forum when it's ready.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe as a precursor, you might want to check out the audio or the text version of the membership site master plan that I released. You know, that's yeah, especially if you prefer the audio version, you can listen to that in a couple of hours. And then you'll have a really good feeling for what the main program teaches as well. So I think you'll enjoy that. Yeah. If you haven't got a copy already.
Does it help you establish a price point? Because that's one thing that I'm kicking around, because I figure, you know, a modest 1% conversion rate of my loyal following, you know, who are, you know, you taught me how to build my following and to make them loyal and to like me even if I'm not a people person and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, 1%, right, at $10 a month is $40,000 a month. So
yeah, you got a lot of
Yeah, so if you did, you know, if I did $20 a month, that would be $80,000. And if anything over 1% would be, I mean, that's, you know, already this whole thing is well beyond my wildest dreams, but it just, you know, I don't know what is the, what's the magic number. I think that, you know, is part of it also. I think that I'm definitely going to give away, you know, no matter what the price is, that, you know, over deliver. And, you know, but I just establishing that number and, you know, maybe that's part of that launch, you know, that I say, if you are one of our initial members and you join over this initial time, you will get this rate for life, you know, guaranteed that it'll never be any higher than this.
I like the numbers you're playing with there in terms of 1%. That's very realistic. You know, I think most of our launches have been around about that, but you have to remember it's usually 1% of the number of people who opt in for the lead resource, not 1% of the entire audience. But you know, you don't know until you do this. In terms of pricing, though, yeah, that's an area. I mean, I do address it in the program, and I basically give you a couple of tips in terms of A, going out there and checking what similar sites are doing in terms of their pricing models, just to give you a sort of a benchmark to play with. And
$40 a pick.
Right. It's really hard to say, though.
Like,
and, you know,
I mean, that's why it's going to be such a tremendous value over what everybody else offers. You know, I mean, I'm not worried about it not being a good deal for them or whatever. It's just a matter of getting the people, you know, I don't know what's holding me back. Maybe it's just the 4 tech projects going on all over the world.
Well,
you know,
the best thing you can do is roll out the program at a price. And often it's better to go on the higher end of what you want to charge. So then if you do a price change, it's a decrease rather than an increase. So it's going to look better for you. That you know, that's a sort of a rule of thumb you can run with. But at the same time, if you do a launch campaign, then yeah, usually the sort of strategy there is we're opening in our first week at $10 a month. After the first week, it's going up to 20. So if you want to lock in the charter pricing, then you got to join that first week, and that's a great way to really stimulate a lot of uptake of your program. So that would be what I'd recommend you do, just because I just know from experience that just works. But you'd have to put together the rest of the launch process as well.
All right, because I think phase 3 of my tech projects going on now is the app, and once that my app is done, then we'll have and I'll probably have time to explore that. So I don't know when that's going to be, a couple weeks at least, right? Takes, who knows?
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Just one more thing to think about in terms of the whole process of getting it all ready to go, and this is where Yaro's Membership Site Mastermind might come in handy for you, is the whole launch process. I mean, it's one thing having a really good product, but it's another thing actually getting people to pull out their credit cards and paying you money for your course, for your product. So I think that'll definitely have to be something you need to focus on too, in terms of thinking about how you're going to market this thing, how you're going to get people into this funnel of yours, so that they, once they get to your sales page, they're already sitting there with their credit cards ready to pay your money. So that can make a huge difference to your success of your launch. Often that's even more important than your product. I mean, you can have a really good product with bad marketing and not make any money. And you can have a pretty average product that does what it says and make a lot of money from it if you just have a really good launch process. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, and I think that's, those are all things that I need to consider. And I think, part of what is scaring me and what's prevented me from even going forward at this point, even though, I've gotten the membership, my site, mastermind emails in the past, and I've, it's certainly something that, when Yaro, over a year and change ago, one of the first things that he said to me is that it was a model that I should be considering. It's just, there's so much on my plate, it's just hard to even get my arms around everything. And, I have a lot of people helping me now, and it still doesn't seem to be enough. So, I guess the whole idea is that the to-do list just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and there's nothing that's actually getting, completed. So maybe if I knock off some of those big pieces, I'll be able to concentrate. And I'm thinking, just in time for American football season next year would probably be the time that where I could ramp up. I would like to have an initial big launch. I think that's probably the way to go, no matter what kind of site it is. And I mean, you guys have certainly done all the right things for me. And, I couldn't be more grateful for all of your help that you guys have given me, because it's an amazing thing. I don't know if you guys have seen my site. Well, you'll see my redesign when it comes out. Who would ever thought that I could not have a great, custom built site and everything? It's like, I don't even have to pay anything, because the site makes, it pays for itself. It's certainly not, not killing them, like some people are, but it's like you guys. But I know I will be shortly.
Good stuff.
So thanks.
Great, Mitch. We'll speak to you soon. Hopefully next time we'll know more. Well, you'll know more.
Yes. Yeah, I will. I'll have it more together. I'm just trying to make sure it's something that I know I need to do. And it's like, maybe I'll do what you guys are doing. And then maybe I'll also go to another source as well, if there is one. I don't know. Maybe I have somebody else do it for me, do the whole launch for me, and create the whole membership site platform for me. And then I just pitch it and contribute. That's about all I have time for.
All right. Well,
all right,
let us know.
Deal.
We'll get on.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mitch. All the best.
All right, moving to the next caller. Attempting to move to the next caller.
While we're waiting for the next caller, Yaro, I might have a possible solution here for us from the chat room. I'm just quickly going to test it out on my own website just to make sure that it works before we get everyone else on board.
Okay. Well, while I'm waiting for high-def conferencing control panel to work, I'm going to switch to the forum question so I can keep this moving. So,
hello.
Oh, hello. Here we go. Go
ahead. This is Susan Liddy with SecretsToUltimateLiving.com. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks, Susan.
Good. I was really just doing the star 9 to come through, because it sounds like you guys were wondering what the old chat room was that you used, and it looks like it's www.chatmaker.net. So
there you go.
I didn't know
Chatmaker.
I would help you guys out with that.
Thanks,
but I am moving steadily along with getting my blog going and increasing all that traffic, and I'm getting some good comments on my blog posts now and all of that, and getting some affiliates as well because of all the blog commenting that I've been doing. and building some relationships that way as well. So it's really fun. Things are really kind of clicking, you know. There's like a little click here and a little click there. It's like, all right, this is cool.
Awesome.
And I'm going to be looking at, you know, I've got basically the structure of the membership site put together on the WordPress blog with wish list member and playing around with how to get it to the drip content with their sequential upgrade and all that, which isn't as straightforward as I would have enjoyed, but I'm getting there. And I'm going to be looking at really starting that launch process here. I suppose it would be next week. You know, really getting more into that launch phase of it while I'm quickly amassing content and doing things like that. So I've got some sales pages put together and a nice little giveaway page that's been created that now the content needs to be created for. And I wanted to thank you, Gideon, because I actually modeled it after something that you had done. And so I modeled after you, and we'll see what it does. And I'm excited about that.
Works.
And so I guess, you know, I star nined in because I thought you needed to know who your old chat room guys were, and I thought I'd give you a little update at the same time. Going to be in that launch phase. I haven't really done a lot of reading on that yet.
Where's your
chatmaker.net, was it? Because I just had a look, and I think their website is actually down, so that's maybe one of the reasons why we didn't.
That was why we couldn't.
Chatmaker.net.
Yeah. Okay. Susan, what's your where? If people who are listening want to check in on your launch when you start, where should they go?
Well, they would go to passagestoempowerment.com. And I don't know if passagestoempowerment.com. I am not sure what I have up there yet. It might be an old sales page. It may not even be the new one.
That's all right. Maybe they'll buy.
Nice design.
Orange.
If it's the new one, it would say doors are closed. Nah, it's the old one. So I'm not really ready to send people over there, but sometime this week I'll start posting in the forums to give people a better idea of where I'm at. I've just got to say that it's a lot of work, a lot of commitment, a lot of focus pulling this off, putting this all together, and I'm feeling good about it, yet feeling a little fatigued too.
It is hard work.
It is.
It takes effort, but it can be very satisfying as well, especially when things go well. So
definitely.
You end up with a really big asset that you can leverage over and over.
Yeah, and it's so fun to be able to log into the WordPress now and look at the member site and see how it all's going to lay out. And I've got my little header up at the top, and you know, so I actually have something I can put my hands on. Now, where a few weeks ago I didn't have that, so it's moving along. It's coming along really well, and I'm really excited to show all of you guys when I get something more to show you. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, and I'm proud of it.
Looking good
stuff.
Yeah, so that's it. Just a quick hello.
Awesome. Well, we might have more than one success story coming from Mitch and Susan and anyone else. So good stuff.
You got it.
Sounds very exciting. All the best.
Yeah, great. Thanks, you guys.
Okay, speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, I will jump to that first forum question so I don't miss them. This is from Tim, who asks, I've been posting many of my blog posts on relevant forums in the hope of attracting, a following. Forums such as tradetowin.com and babypips.com are well-established forums in my field. So far on my site, there are no ads or anything to suggest it's of a commercial nature, and I've not made any money from it yet. The problem I've been getting is that the forums don't like me putting my URL at the bottom of my post on the grounds that I'm trying to generate traffic to my commercial website. Yes, I am trying to generate traffic, but no, it's not commercial. I know when I've managed to duck under the radar of the moderators, I've already had a good spike of traffic during the time the URL is left on the post, so it's really an effective way of building traffic. I'm wondering if this is common with your experiences when you started out in your field, or is it just within the area of futures and forex trading that they're so hot on it? Unless I can post a URL on the bottom of my article, I can't see any value in continuing to use these forums. Am I wrong? Many thanks in advance, Tim. Tim, yeah, that is a increasingly common restriction placed on a lot of forums where they just simply don't have either a signature box or they don't allow you to put a link in with the article. You've got to check with this to be very specific, though. You may be trying to put a link in the actual content of your forum posts manually, which could be against the rules, where having a link in your signature, which is just something that goes as a default along with every single blog post you make, is appropriate. And what I found when I was back in the day doing forum marketing and participating in forums on a daily basis, they often allowed you to have up to two links in your signature file, and it had to be of a certain number of characters. So a lot of the forums I participated in, I just wrote a very simple line like, want to make money blogging? Click here to download my free report, and then the link or something like that. Or when I was just promoting my blog, it would have been, interested in learning more about internet marketing, check out my blog, Entrepreneur's Journey, something like that, very simple, and it'll be a link straight through to my blog homepage. So that's what some forums that you do, have a signature file at the bottom. Check the rules to see what's going on with that in these forums. The other alternative, and you can try and do this on any forum, is first go in and establish yourself, leave some posts, maybe get up to 50 articles in that forum before you even think about doing any marketing, so you've got good stead, as they say. You've got good reputation and credibility in that forum. And then when appropriate, if you're replying to a question or adding some value to a thread there, and you happen to have a blog article that continues or adds to what was started, what you can often do is write a couple of paragraphs. Here's what I think, and if you're interested in more on this, I actually wrote about it in my blog back in February, whatever, and link to your post then. And often they'll let you do that when it's very on topic and you're a member with good reputation. You want to be careful with that again, though, because some forums are so restricted, they won't let you have any links going to anything that you own. You can't have any signature file. If that's the kind of forum, then I'd probably, if you're purely doing it for marketing, you might want to skip it and go to a forum where they allow you to do at least some kind of outgoing links. Otherwise, you're really just building their community and you have no way to benefit yourself back to your blog, unless you can figure out some way to, tell people who are starting to trust you that you have other websites. And, signature is the most common way. So I'd really be trying to find only forums that allow signatures. Okay, Tim, hope that helps. If you want to follow up with that, please leave a follow-up reply in the forum. And of course, you are allowed to leave your signature in my forums, as you've no doubt have seen. So go ahead and do that. I'll jump back to the live questions.
Yeah, hey, Yarrow. Good evening. Kieran here.
How you doing?
Hey, Kieran.
Good, guys. Happy New Year, too.
Thank you.
My question is around emails and your email content that you send out. What sort of hat do you have on to write emails, write your content for your emails when in comparison to writing your blog posts? Your blog posts, Yarrow, yours are very, very involved, and your emails are obviously a lot shorter. What's the best approach to writing emails?
You want to go first, Gideon?
Yeah, I'll have a go. The main part of your question is basically comparing blog content to email content, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I guess it depends on your purpose for either of the two. If your purpose is to provide valuable content, then there's no difference in terms of writing the content for either your blog or for your email newsletter. The mini course that I created for the Become a Blogger newsletter was pretty much equivalent to blog content. It was probably even more detailed than blog content, but I mean, those could have easily have been blog articles, but I decided to put them on there and keep them more unique, so people could only access them when they sign up for that content. So there's not too much difference between the style of writing between a content-based email or a content-based blog post. Now, when it comes to promotional type messages, Once again, if you have a promotional type message on your blog, it'll be different kind of writing, different style of writing to just normal content type text. And the same applies for your email. Of course, they're a lot more persuasive, they're a lot more punchy, a lot more to the point, and they sell. You know, instead of providing content, they sell it and they entice. Now, I guess the main difference is that with an email, you can have a much better and much more powerful effect when it comes to those promotional type emails in particular. Reason number one is because you can personalize it. So instead of just going, "Hi, everybody," you go, "Hi, John," or "Hi, Karen," or "Hi, Susan." And so that immediately creates that initial rapport. So it has more personality than a blog post immediately, just because you're writing specifically to one person. And you can engineer that to a certain extent with personalizing it inside your email program. The other cool thing about emails is that, people read them immediately much sooner often than a blog post. So you can get a result much, much quicker and much more effectively than you would just with a blog promotional type message. So those are the main sort of differences that I see with them. Mainly I would use blog content for just content. So I'd have, very little sales type messages on my blogs. But when it comes to emails, I'll have a combination. I'll have nice content emails or a short email that sends that has a link to my blog that has nice content on it. Or alternatively, I'll have, when it comes to promotion, I'll have a nice sort of more focused sales type email for that specific promotion that I'm doing, so that I can get that nice quick effect, quick number of clicks and quick number of sales.
Great. Do you have a word count rule of thumb that you follow, or blogs seem to be more involved or much, much longer, but emails, they can be shorter, as I've read?
Yeah, there has been a lot of tests done it. I can't recall any numbers off the top of my head. In general, I think around about 500 words is probably, pretty good for an email. In saying that, though, I had up to 3,000, maybe sometimes 4,000 words in some of my mini course emails. Now, the emphasis of those emails are a little bit different because people are expecting it in that scenario. I guess I could have broken it up, but I wanted people to receive these emails and go, "Wow, I'm going to print this out and I'm going to read it, the whole thing, and I'm really going to look forward to the next one because it's so packed with content and it's really powerful." But I mean, if you could easily break that up and just have 500, instead of one email that's 3,000 words, you have six emails that's 500 words, and then that allows you to send more messages, have more contact with your leads or customers, and build the relationship over a longer period. So I guess it reduces your workload a little bit, but then, of course, it drip feeds the information more. But I think it's also something that you've got to test and ask your audience, what do they prefer? Do they prefer shorter emails? Do they prefer the longer ones with more content? Do they prefer it if you just send them to a blog page? There's some information that you should be able to gain just from listening to your subscribers as well.
Great, yeah. So you can split test using AWeber, can't you? So you've got a list of, say, 1,000 people. You could send one stream of information to 500 and a different stream of information to the other 500.
Absolutely,
you can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. I mean, that's one thing you can test. You could, have... I'm not sure if you can do that with follow-up emails, but with broadcast emails, you can definitely do that. And you can test shorter emails compared to longer emails, different types of style of writing, like sales copy style compared to content style. You can test that as well. Absolutely. And that'll give you valuable feedback for your niche. And because that's the other thing to realize as well, that sometimes it depends on what kind of niche you're in. In our niche, there's a lot of internet marketers, and they, a lot of times they kind of expect something a little bit more salesy. And, but, you know, it depends. Maybe for that reason, they prefer more content emails than these sort of sales pitches in their faces all the time. So it depends on your niche as well. But I think that's why you've got to test it and find out from your audience, you know, what do they actually want.
Great, great. Yeah, I have to put up my hand. That was me with the webinar before. I was just switching from an AWeber training webinar, so learning all about AWeber now.
Good
I apologize for that transfer.
That's funny.
I thought that voice sounded familiar.
Yeah, I got another one after this, after you guys, so it's like webinars back to back. It's crazy this afternoon.
Good stuff. Learning lots.
Good student, huh? Karen,
yeah.
Give you a couple of things, because I've been studying a bit of email marketing lately, and obviously I've been sending newsletters and writing blog posts for 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
What I've noticed, and everything's got to do with your own, you know, personal preferences, your testing, and all I can just say is what I've done and what I've noticed. So when I first started my newsletter, it was, you know, with the focus of, I didn't have a product to sell yet. It was just a case of, I got to build a list. That's a smart thing to do. So let's put out a weekly newsletter. It was called the Blog Tips Newsletter, Once a Week Tips. I was somewhat modeling Alan Gardine, who had, or still does have a newsletter. He's an Aussie affiliate marketer, and he's got a very successful list. His newsletter, though, is very much like a newsletter in the sense that it's got a little table of contents at the beginning and it's structured in a certain way. It looks more like a text-based print newsletter where they've tried to create sections and so forth. So I copied a bit of him and I wrote the first 50-odd newsletters as text in the newsletter, sort of the same way Gideon did with the first few follow-up trainings in the Become a Blogger sequence, which are... to be honest, with Gideon probably went even further. He wrote more words. You know, I wrote maybe 2,000 words. Some of his were 5,000, and I think only I may have gone up to 3,000 at most. So, and I was also modeling David D'Angelo somewhat with mine, with the idea of just telling a story, and then I figured at some point I'd have an ebook to pitch or something like that. So I just go in later on and add the pitch at the end to all those newsletters at the end of the content. And I did that for a long time, and that was, I guess, a juggle between writing a newsletter and writing the blog posts, because they were completely interchangeable. I could have put those newsletters on my blog and doubled the amount of content I produced on the blog, but had no newsletter. So I had to decide, okay, well, I want this newsletter to be, more of a follow-up sequence and more specific, where the blog was a little bit more fluid and I could jump from topic to topic and go wherever I felt like it, where the newsletter was always going to be about blog traffic. That was my initial thinking. Over the years, though, this has all changed. Now, I've released a free report, the Blog Profits Blueprint. I had my products coming in afterwards. I noticed trends in the marketplace. People were no longer necessarily using the newsletter as the content source. Instead, they'd use it just to send out a link to the content. So a lot of people right now will just send out links to their blog posts or their web page content, or of course to affiliate products. And what you'll find, like Frank Kern is really, he's trying to make his emails that look just like you're coming from a friend. So if you see them now, subject lines are all lowercase, like they're coming from a friend. It's just hi, you know, name, sometimes not even that. It's just the first, you know, sentence straight away. If you have a look in the footer of his emails nowadays, there's very little in it. It just looks like a normal email from a friend who's written it really quickly. And it's two or three lines, boom. And he's just trying to get the highest click-through rate and, you know, the best response without necessarily building a relationship through content. So the good thing about that is he is training his list to click his links to go to places. So what I like to do at the moment is I've got so much good content at my blog, I'm going to go back and start sending people to some of that content, which will let people kind of condition themselves to realizing that, yes, if you click a link in Yarrow's newsletter, you're getting good content, so I'll keep clicking links. That was one of the problems with putting all the content in the email, is that if every email is content, and suddenly they get this short email with a link, and that's the affiliate promotion, they've immediately got this signal going off in their head. There's a discrepancy here. Something's wrong. Okay, I know what's wrong. Every time it's a short email, it's an affiliate promotion. Let's ignore the short emails. So you've got to think about patterns and not letting people form these patterns that can, you know, stop you from getting the results you want. Perry Marshall talks a lot about that, and you know, very effectively mixing it up, you know, focusing on content as much as you can, and every time you do a promotion, you're making some sort of deduction from the emotional bank account you build up with people when you give them content. So, but one thing to note about that, and this is one of the things I really liked about David D'Angelo and some of the, you know, the people who wrote longer emails, the fact is you will get more people who actually consume your content if there's less to do. So if they have to click a link, then fewer people will do that. You may get a higher level of engagement because they click the link and go to your blog and read the article, but it will be fewer people. So the resistance points, you know, the more of them you have, so you've got, if you think about it, email lands in inbox. The first thing that they've got to do is read the subject, and then they've got to click that email. That's the first resistance point. You know, they may go straight to the delete button based just on your subject. You know, the second resistance point is there a link in that email that they have to click to get to the content? So if there isn't and it's a straight content, then you've only really got one resistance point to get through, and they're consuming your content. So I did like the theory that I will have more people reading my stuff if I just put all the content in the email itself. And that was pretty much part of my decision-making process for my newsletter for the first year or two. It's changed since then because I do like to get a lot of my content on the blog, so I'm going to send out more emails that just link to content on the blog, knowing that I will miss some people who just don't want to click a link. It's just the way it is. So that's my thought process anyway. So, Kieran, I know it's a very personal thing here. You got to experiment.
Yeah, I'm just taking that all in. That's great. What's, you got a ratio for content to an affiliate promotion? Like maybe content, five email content emails to every one affiliate promotion?
I don't have a strict ratio that I've followed personally, because in the past things have just come up, and if I've agreed to promote someone's launch and I haven't sent another email, there may be two pitches in a row, which is not good. Often what we'll try and do is, you know, pitch the free report or something like that. So we are still giving content, even though it does lead to a product. I think you'll find across the board the general rule people like to give you is a 90-10 rule, 90% content, 10% pitch.
Yeah, I heard that.
Some people, though, they don't even do pitch directly in their newsletter. What they'll do is it'll be, you know, content. Oh, we're running a free teleseminar on this subject. You know, go here to register. That moves them to a sub-list. That sub-list is then where the product will be pitched to based on whatever that teleseminar or whatever it was about. So, and what I was talking about with the free report, that's kind of similar to that, except it was the affiliate who would then do the pitching. So I like that idea because that means people know that your newsletter is always got content or it's sending people to more great free content that does eventually lead to a pitch, but it's not you. So, now, you can do this without ever actually sending a pitch to your list, and you can still make money. What happens is you just have to start segmenting people or let your affiliates do the pitching for you. You just send the traffic to the free resources. But I found, and you know, David D'Angelo, another great example, he just wrote and wrote and wrote long 10, 20-page emails, and at the end of them, he wrote another 10 paragraphs that were the pitch, but it was just a great way of pitching. It really flowed on from the story. And, you know, talked about an example that was in the ebook that he was selling or something like that. So it is quite possible to deliver a ton of value so much up front that, and then get to the pitch and make a very small deduction from the emotional bank account with that pitch simply because of how well integrated it is. So it's really up to you about the amount of effort you want to put in.
Great. You've really got to be quite the internet marketing artist to be... to be good at this, you know, to know which paintbrush to pick up and to which tool to use at which time.
So it's probably the most creative aspect of any time you're doing writing. So, you know, bloggers or email writers, that's where the creativity comes into it. So yeah, for sure.
Brilliant. Thanks for your responses. Thanks.
No problem, Kieran. Thank you for your question. Gideon, you've sent me chat room.
Send you some code.
All right, let me try.
It's from Zoho.
Zoho.
Looks pretty nice.
I can tick this straight into the teleconferences page. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. So you'll just have to embed it there somewhere on the page.
That's doing it. Let's see if it breaks anything.
It was weird when I did it on mine. It didn't look like it saved it, but it somehow did. So I got it working then, but just see if you can get it going.
Okay.
For perhaps while you do that, is there a question in the forum that I could read?
It sure is. I've actually already added it, though, so I can see your test message. For anyone listening, this seems to be good. If you go back to the teleconferences page and hit refresh, underneath the live chat heading, you should see the chat room there powered by Zoho with Gideon in there. Type something too. That seems to be working. So if you go to entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences, it's the link you got to access this call, and refresh, so reload that page, and a Java chat program should open. Looks quite nice, Gideon. So,
yeah, well, thank you.
And so far, Gideon and I are talking to each other, so you know, that's important. There's a hello all. That's a good name.
hello all.
Okay, so well, let's move to. I will read out the next chat room. The next forum question. And well, you can tell me if you have an answer for this one, Gideon. I'm not sure you do, but this one's from Welly. First of all, Happy New Year. I have a question about article marketing. What do you think is considered a good author resource click-through rate for your article in the article directories? So you can go first, Gideon, because I don't think I can answer that question.
Can you just read that again? What is a good click-through rate for you?
What do you think is considered a good author resource click-through rate for your article in article directories?
Okay, so in other words, I'm assuming the author resource link is the bit right at the bottom of your articles in articles, whatever. So it's asking how many people actually click on that. What's the rate?
What's a good rate? What can you expect?
What's a good rate? I have no idea what a good rate would be there, because I haven't had much success with that particular strategy. And I think part of the reason is because, I prefer more video stuff. I think it's pretty obvious if you've been following me for a while. I like video stuff. So article directories is not a great focus of mine. I did try it for a while, but I got some results. I got some clicks, but you know, I never really converted those clicks into leads or even sales. And I think part of the problem was that in those article directories, you're merging with the masses, and you know there are masses of people who submit articles, and you know you're just one of many, and so you've got to write something really, really compelling and really, really amazing to get people to click on your resource link, and that's part of the problem. Often, you know, people don't even get to your resource link. They might really enjoy your article and go, "Sweet, I love it," and then click away. And they may never even see your resource link in the resource area. So that's, you know, you just have little control over where you can put your links inside articles like that. So I don't know. That's why I say I don't know what even a good conversion rate is, or a conversion rate for people clicking on your link. If you are getting any, that's good. And if they're converting into leads and sales, that's even better. But you know, it depends on your personal style. I think if you like writing a lot, that may be a good strategy. If you like video, you follow my path and just go on YouTube. But yeah, so I can't really give much more advice on that area.
Okay. Well, while you've been talking, I've gone and logged into my old eZine Articles account just to see if I could find my click-through rate. It wasn't been a long time since I did this experiment. So it's showing me my click rate, Welly, is 6.6%. Which means, I've got 10 articles published in there. I did my experiment. I put 10 in, and I've had almost 20,000 article views, 646 published, and 1,289 clicks. So a 6.6% click rate, and my content's been emailed 5 times. Some of this, though, I find is really difficult to gauge because the eZine Articles is using their system for calculating the metrics. And ultimately, when you get a good result with this, it's because your article gets put into a nice newsletter and goes to thousands of people, or gets published on a blog and a really big blog or a really big website and gets clicks that way. Or the good old war of attrition method, you know, you publish 150 articles and because of the sheer volume, or maybe we should say you publish 1,000 articles, and because of the sheer volume, if you even just get each article published 2 or 3 times each, you're looking at 3,000 or 4,000 places, so you can start generating some traffic. So there's a lot of places the traffic comes from, too. It's from people who actually go to eZine Articles to get the content. It's from republishing the content. It's from forwarding it, from emailing it, all kinds of places. So to answer your question, well, I don't have what I consider a good number for that. You can see what I've got, 6.6%. I think you'll find in this sort of area, it's probably varies a lot from industry to industry as well. You can expect a standard across the board. So depends on demand, competition, how many other people are writing about the same subject, all those sort of things. So I just value it, like Gideon said, look at what you're getting in terms of real results for your own website, whether that's traffic back to your blog or leads into your opt-in process, and judge it on that. Don't look at the statistics you're seeing inside eZine articles. So if you know you're getting 10 new leads a day because of the content published around the internet thanks to your article marketing technique, then that's probably a good result. So keep doing it. And that's all you really need to be really worried about. Thanks for your question, Welly. We'll move on to another live caller.
I like this live chat. It's fun.
Hello, Gideon and Ainsley. Yaro, it's Ainsley from Brisbane.
Hey, Ainsley.
Hey, Ainsley.
Hello, I think I was the quiet caller at the beginning.
You weren't. I know you weren't. I saw it was someone else's name who I'm not going to say because I don't know if they want me to be public with it.
My question is about my website is studyskillsmentors.com, and I've been doing it for 6 months, and I'm also a teacher. A month ago, I applied for a job in America to be their online editor. It's for an education supplier. I got down to the last three, and I had a major Skype interview with three of them, and it was 90 minutes long, and they seemed really happy with what I had to say, but it seems that they're a bit nervous that I'm in Australia and the company is in America. It seems that the people who are designing their website are interested in what I've got to say, but the owners are a bit nervous about the lack of proximity, so to speak, me being Australian. Do you have any ideas of how, you know, either for this job or for other jobs, that you can try and build more trust so they can trust that what I do in my house in Brisbane can help them in America?
If you really want to blow them away, fly to America and knock on their door and say, hey, this is how serious I am.
No, and I'm serious too. And I was trying to say to them, look, I've traveled overseas 16 times. I've probably been to America more times than you've been to Australia. You know, I've got a term off. Get me in your room. I can do this. So, you know, I still think these are the things that, like, they still haven't decided who they want. And I think I'm like this thorn in their side that I must be doing everything right because they haven't dismissed me yet, but they still don't trust the Australians. So
is it they don't trust Australians, or is it just because they're worried about the time zone or something?
I first thought it was the fact that I'm Australian and I may not necessarily know education policy for America, but that wasn't it. And they agreed that you could do guest posts and things like that for that. I gave them strategies that it would actually work in our favour to be in Australia. For example, most teachers are blogging now, which is their night time and my day, so it would be a lot easier for me to do that since I'm, like, at home. So it didn't seem to be about the technical issues. It seemed to be really about the trust, you know.
What was the Skype interview like? Was it just audio or just text, or did you have video in there as well?
No, it was video, and they saw me, but there were three of them, so I could see their interactions, and, you know, which worked in my favor because I could see their body language, and I could see that they were responding to what I was saying and things like that. So
yeah, it's an interesting one because I think, you know, probably the closest you can come to building trust online is with video. You know, and the next best thing is to, as Yara said, fly to their place and knock on their door and say, hi, I'm here. Yeah, it depends on how desperate you are to get this job as well. Maybe it's worth the investment to actually fly over there and say, hey, I'm coming over to meet you guys. This is how serious I am about this job. You've got to look at your numbers there, of course, to make sure that it makes sense, and it'll be, you know, it'll be your gamble. But I don't know. Some of the things you could do is to apply some, I guess, some more influence triggers or influence strategies, and you know, you could use things like your friends or your customers or the, you know, almost like testimonials from other people saying that you're a good person. And, you know, that can build a lot of trust that'll sort of activate that trigger of, oh, yeah, okay, she's okay. She's got friends and she's got other people that think she's cool. So she must be cool. That's one way of doing it. The other way, another trigger you could apply there is the authority one. If you know anybody that's sort of almost celebrity-like in your industry, or even here in Australia that's got a lot of clout in the area, even if it's like a principal or someone in the education area that's got some really good qualifications and a really good experience or whatever that's well-respected by the community, you could get that person to give you a testimonial or some nice words about you, or get them with you on the call when you talk to these other guys. So, hey, you know, this is authority here. They think I'm cool. So, you know, that gives you another point of difference and another point, I guess, a trigger where people can trust you. Let me think. What are some other things you could...
No, that's a good idea. I know they're still looking at my website because, you know, where they are in America was not... It was not a town that ever hopped on my website. So, and within the last 3 weeks, I'm getting quite a lot of hits. So I've been trying to keep up my website because they're obviously other people are still checking me out from there. You know, could happen to someone about me. So
even that's actually a good idea. If you can put, you know, anything that you can get from your audience and in other authorities in your industry to basically talk you up, you know, and to make you, you know, come across as the authority in your niche or as someone who knows what they're talking about, you know, that's way more powerful than you saying that yourself, you know. So
I guess it's hard with my topic though, because I'm talking to students about study skills. It's not the most, you know, people don't comment on that type of stuff, but no, I've got some ideas. You know, I have done some guest posts with some people in other sides of the world, you know, maybe that could help as testimony to say
we've collaborated. And, you know, add those to your website where it's prominent, especially with all these, they're probably still checking out. So if they can, next time they go to your website, they go, oh, look, there's this person that they said this about Ainsley. So she must be cool. And, you know, don't underestimate your following. If you've got a fan base, it doesn't matter if they're just students, get them to write some stuff to you, you know, encourage them somehow to send you some stuff. Maybe if you've got an email list, send them an email and say, hey, look, I'm really keen to get this job. I need your help, and just be upfront with them. So I would love to get some support from you to show these people that I'm that I'm a trustworthy person, that I do what I say and this sort of thing. And maybe in return, you could maybe not give them something in return because you want to have honest. Sort of feedback from people. But
one of the things they commented on was I haven't had a lot of guest posts, and part of it would be editing others' posts. So I did a call out on the forum to see if anyone would like just give me some like remember when you were at school type ideas to have some guest posts on it so they can see a bit of that. Cool. I think it's just frustrating that it's like the most awesome job, and I think I'm so close, but I think it's just this lack of trust, and it's hard for me to show them. And, you know, I think that if I was actually having a face-to-face interview with them, I've never had a 90-minute interview in my life. So if I was face-to-face, I probably would have had less time with them. So, you know, I think I've given them so much, but...
Yeah.
So...
Oh, hopefully the job pays as well as it sounds.
Well, yes.
Not sure, Yara, if you had any other ideas about helping to build trust from the other side of the world.
Not really. I think what you said before about deciding how much you want the job is the most important thing, because if you really, 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 really want it, then why aren't you getting on a plane and saying, listen, I'm here, this is how serious. So.
Yeah. We're going to Japan next week, that's why. So.
Well, the week after? You know, Japan to America is a shorter trip, too. So, yeah. You know. But yeah, I mean, it is. I know it sounds funny, but I don't like encouraging people to get jobs because entrepreneurship. But obviously, it's a stepping stone for what you want to do. So, I mean, one of the things that Perry Marshall was talking about, he has a whole case study about a guy who who basically wrote a direct response sales letter to potential employers as a means to get a job. So that's not necessarily something you can do, but I think whatever it is, it's something you could do that is not expected, and it just demonstrates you're above the average interest in this role. You care so much about their company, and often, you know, doing a bit of research on what they do and finding something special out about them that demonstrates that you really do know what they're about, that the average person or the other applicants don't know. Can you just say, hey, listen, I work for free. Give me 2 or 3 months, give you a chance to see if it works. If it doesn't work, then we'll stop. If it does, you know, start me on the salary. So.
Yeah, well, I've done all that. Part of what I did was I sent them a proposal, you know, this is how I would do it, and that seemed to resonate with them. You know, that's how they got started with me. If I hadn't sent the proposal, I think they would have dismissed me straight away.
Yeah.
I did suggest, you know, I found Basecamp. I gave it as an example of, you know, I was trying to find some software that, you know, if we found software like that, that you could monitor me, so to speak, so you could see what I was doing.
Mm.
So, yeah. But no, I like the idea of maybe approaching my principal. That could work.
Yeah, and the other thing, depending on how much time you have until, you know, they make a decision, that you could send them a thank you gift in the mail. You know, send them a little package, wrap it up nicely, and just say, look, thank you for the time you've already taken out to have a chat to me, and this is just my way of saying thank you, and I hope to be in touch with you soon. You know, it's something as simple as that, and that'll make them realize that you're also, you know, you're serious about the job. And if you're the only person that sends them something, if they've interviewed 10 people, you're the only person that sends them something all the way from Australia, they'll definitely put you in a special category. And it'll invoke that law of reciprocity that, you know, they would want to do something back to you if you give them something.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you very much.
Okay.
No problem, Ainsley. Good luck.
Be a master Jedi influential personnel.
All right. Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. I'm just going to do the last question from the forum, and then we'll jump back to the live calls. This is from Ralph, who's in the Netherlands and blogs at lonely-ugly.com. That just sounds sad. Lonelyugly.com. Okay, he asks, or I think it's a he. The first and second lessons were run through. My website has been set up. The problem is that I cannot find a suitable theme. I am reluctant to pay for a good WordPress design, but need some guidance. Content I'm posting on a daily basis. It's outsourced. I promised to not finish the other week's lessons, I presume, with a couple of days because I assume that the weeks contain subjects that need more attention. So, okay, just saying he needs to solve this problem first. So we're talking about blog design and getting a suitable, attractive design when you don't have money to pay for a custom design and you don't like what you're seeing so far in the free designs. challenging. Okay, so Ralph, you know, if I go back in down memory lane and if you look at my blog during the first year, it was a free design, a WordPress theme called the Pool Theme. And I was a very, very, very amateur HTML hacker back when I actually used to do things with the code. I wasn't very good, so it would take me hours to do something that would take most people 10 minutes. But I still hacked away at that theme and just got some simple things into it, like my picture, some links in the sidebar, like a blog role, and that was about it. So it was an ugly blog, that's all I can say. It did the job. It had a navigation bar. My content was displayed reasonably cleanly, and I just got to work writing on that blog on a regular basis, and that formed the start of my blog. So the golden rule always we say to people over and over again, it's the content that's going to sell your blog, so don't let that stop you. And obviously you've got the content being produced on a daily basis because you're outsourcing it, so that's great. I'm wondering if you're paying money to outsource and that's why you can't afford a custom design. I'm not sure, but I don't know if you had a good look, but there are actually quite a lot of great free themes. I have seen so many. There are countless of them now. I mean, you just got to look a little bit sometimes outside of the WordPress free theme area because that can be a little bit overwhelming. But I found sometimes like the custom designers who give away some of their themes for free are great. For example, Michael Pollack from SoloStream. I think that's his website still, solostream.com. He used to give away some great free themes. Just do anything in terms of a Google search for free WordPress themes and find any of the private design studios, the guys like WooThemes, and I can't think of any of them off the top of my head, but these sites almost always have free themes you can take, and if you can just get a little bit of customization done to them, you know, $50, $100 just to get your photo in there, you know, get some basic, you know, a nice opt-in box or something like that into the design, it can look great. And I find it hard to believe you can't find a suitable free theme, because there are so many out there, but it is a personal choice, so I understand you might be picky. If that's the case, then start saving up for a custom design. You know, that way you can control the entire look of everything you want with your blog. But this is a personal choice, so I can't really give you an answer, because you have to decide this for yourself based on what you like. So, Gideon, anything?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not interested in the free themes and you don't want to pay someone to design something for you, another option is just to buy a theme like the Thesis theme, and you know, with very little investment, you can customize it, you know, to look a little bit different to all the other Thesis themes out there. It's at the moment the main theme that I use for all my blogs, and you know, I'm a creator personality, so I'm creating like mad all the time. So I create new blogs all the time, and so I just use that theme. It's the quickest one that I found to customize and to make it look into something that I like the look of. But in saying that, I don't do that myself. I've got a tech person that takes care of that for me. But because it's the Thesis theme, the only changes that you have to make is to a little file called custom.css. And basically, you're only changing the style sheets of the design. So you don't actually have to get into the HTML coding of the actual theme. And if you get someone who's good at styling and know the style sheet language, the CSS language, then it should be a breeze. It should take them maybe an hour to design something that you want. Or we're within limits, of course. Each theme comes with their own limits. But yeah, my recommendation is, you know, sort of step in between free stuff and doing something totally custom, is to just get Thesis and customize that slightly.
Okay. Ralph, I hope that helped you. If you need any more help, though, of course, please feel free to put a follow-up there. And you may also want to ask a question in the section of the forums for tech support. You may even just want to say, anyone got any good recommendations for free WordPress theme sites? And you may find lots of people there have some links to send you in the right direction. So good luck.
Okay, just before we go on, sorry, Yara, okay. Just before we go on this... there's something interesting I noticed. There's a post called 5 Ways to Achieve a Strong Online Relationship on lonely-ugly.com. And I thought Ainsley might like to read that as some more information there for you.
Okay. Lonely-ugly.com. Great name. Okay.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, going to move on to the next question.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello? You hear me?
Sure can.
Hey, Yara, this is Brandy. Hi, Gideon. I do have a few questions. Hopefully they'll be quick. But first of all, I wanted you to take a look at my blog just to get any of your feedback. It's thegreenpharmacist.com.
Maybe type that into the chat room for us.
Oh, let me get back.
Pharmacist. P-H-A-R.
Okay, I just typed it.
Okay, cool. Quick type.
All righty. Vegetables. Okay. Well, you certainly got a lot of photos. Uh, think I'm overstimulated.
Yeah, the photo at the bottom actually blog post as well. So.
Yep, I can see how they slide across. If anyone, if everyone's listening along, if you want to, if you have internet access in front of you, check out thegreenpharmacist.com so you can see what we're talking about.
But sign up as well.
Yeah, and sign up as well if you agree to Green Health. So, okay, so I've got the pop-out box. Great. Okay, well, do you have a specific, like, thing you're trying to achieve here so we can focus on that area?
Yes, well, you know, outside your general feedback, you know, I just switched from my old blog site to this new one last month. So this is, like, the new and approved one, and I want, of course, more subscribers and more traffic. And so right now I haven't, you know, I've been focusing just on content. I haven't really started marketing. So I'm getting probably less than 20 people a day and not really any subscribers. So I just, you know, I've been toying with the idea of having like an exit pop up, and I played around with one, or maybe having this, like, for instance, the vegetables, you know, right there, there's usually either a video or a picture. I was playing around with having actually making that a landing page and just giving more about subscribing.
Okay.
So,
well, I'll give you first my couple of things just since they're jumping out at me. Your blog articles don't have permalinks activated, so that would just be a little thing to help with your search results. So you might want to check the section on permalinks and turn that on. That just means your articles will have your keywords instead of a question mark P equals 900 or something like that as the article. The opt-in box you've got on the top right corner has no call to action. Doesn't say what it's about, what it does. I got nothing. It's just the name, email, submit. So I'd never put my name into that because I have no idea what I'm submitting for. So you need to get some kind of at least a description there that says, you know, sign up for my free green health tips, you know, e-course or weekly newsletter, and I'll show you how to use vegetables to cure any illness you ever have, or something that's very specific and benefit focused, some kind of headline. That would definitely help with that one.
And I have it at. I have it in a middle bar.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Well, it's not fine. It's okay for the home page. But if I go to an article page, and don't forget, someone coming from a search engine, they're landing on your articles page, not your home page. They're not going to see what that top box is for at all. And you gotta think about this as children. Like, think of your audience as a child when it comes to using the internet. If you don't have very obvious do this to get this types of instructions, they're just not going to know what to do, and they're not going to follow the instructions, so you're not going to get the result you want. So the more by the sounds of things, you want opt-ins. That was what you're asking for, a lead. So you need to, I would suggest on the homepage, that line, hey, sign up above to receive my free blog newsletter in the middle, that is going to be completely competed away because you have about 10 very colorful and distracting photographs. So if you do some eye tracking tests, I guarantee the attention is going to go straight to all those photographs, and no one's going to be reading the text. That's what happened to me when I landed on the page straight away as well. So what I would suggest doing is actually, the design is cool, but I think it's either somewhat distracting from that main thing you're trying to get people to do. I don't know whether this is going to be difficult for you to change, in the sense that just simplifying a little bit, reducing the number of pictures or making them smaller so they're more like icons that go with text rather than being, you know, the like, because I look down the bottom and I see six pictures, two of which are the same. I don't know what they are. And then I have to put my mouse over it to go, oh, it's an article. That would, you'd probably get a lot more people actually reading your content if that picture was either not there and it had the title, how to find what's really on your food, or that picture was a very small square that was next to the text, you know, a line left or right or something like that. But at the moment, it's I land on this page and it could be a photography site. That's kind of what I see. So These are just things off the top of my head. They require testing. I don't know where your traffic's coming from, and you may start getting a lot of search traffic, which means the front page doesn't really matter. They're all going to land on your sub pages to read your articles. So in that case, the first thing I would do is definitely fix up that box in the top right corner. That is the most important thing. Gideon, do you have anything you want to?
Yeah, my first impression was of the site was, wow, it look, you know, it's nice and colorful, and you know, because I'm a visual person, I like looking at pictures. But if I stumbled on this website, as Yara was saying, I wouldn't know if it was a photography website, you know, that had nice pictures of beautiful fruit and vegetables, or if it was actually a website where I could learn more about, you know, eating healthy or, you know, greenery and this sort of stuff. When in the copywriting world, the first rule of thumb is that you need to grab people's attention, but that grabbing of attention needs to be aligned with what you're trying to get them to do. And often it is, you want people to consume your content. You want each element of your copywriting is supposed to sell the next element. So if you have a headline, the main purpose of the headline is to get people to read the next sentence. And the main purpose of the next sentence is to get people to read the next sentence and so forth. So when I look at your website, it's beautiful, but as Yara was saying, I don't know what it's about. And I think you may be even better off with a different theme. I'm not sure how much that would affect you, and because I can tell that you've spent a lot of time on this. And when I click on your actual articles, you know, they look really good because there's a lot of content there. If I just look at a normal post page, immediately I see a nice big headline, for example, this one here, how to find out what's really on your food, the insider's tip. So that's just brilliant. You know, I want to read what's next. I want to find out what else you've got on that page. Whereas if I just look at the homepage, I don't get that same effect. I don't know where to click. I don't know where to look. And I think with potentially a different theme that has less emphasis on images, I mean, you can use both, but where you can somehow bring out the text more to so that people can very quickly see what each of your posts are about. And that way you may get a lot more clicks on those posts so that people can actually consume your content. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. You want people to read your content or watch your videos or listen to your audio. And if they don't realize that it's there, they're not gonna get there. It may just be a matter of installing a different theme. I'm not sure how much customization you've done on this particular theme. And I'm not sure if you've got a tech person either, but that would be my recommendation.
Well, I could, you know, at the bottom, the pictures, what I was thinking about doing is making the first page a landing page where instead of the picture of the vegetables, it would have the call to action as a blog post per se. And that would be, you know, there would be the headline, you know, telling about the site, or might actually that's also a spot for a video where I was going to record a video eventually where people know immediately to click on the video and I tell them how to maneuver through the site. Like it's almost like a good landing page.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that could change it if you've got a video there that people would naturally click on. And I think what would even help with that situation is if you do have a video there to have text there as well to just say what the video is about. You know, say, for example, click here to learn this or watch the video now to learn about that. That'll be important to just, as Yara was saying, you've got to treat them almost like children to show them, you've got to keep it simple, show them just a very simple way of getting them to do what you want them to do.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, where it has the, like, the top four health effects, that actually could be the wording of, you know, hey, you know, listen to the video. You know, that's essentially a spot for a sticky post that could be there forever and as the only post.
Yeah, I think that could work. You'll have to make the text, I think, more prominent in if that's what you want people to see first. It depends on what you want people to see first. If that's what you want people to see first, I'd maybe change it to red or something more bold or bigger or whatever, just so that it stands out more and so that it's very clear what people need to do next to be able to absorb content on your website.
Okay. My next question is, I was thinking about hiring, what do you think about those internet marketing companies or outsourcing it to the SEO optimization type companies to do some of the behind the scenes marketing for the blog, or do you think that's even necessary?
Theme that you're happy with, because anything they do there, well, it depends what they're doing. If they're just building links, it's okay, but I would go with the, you know, handling your internal SEO and getting a theme you're happy with, and then you can hire a company that might go out there and build some links and so forth if you've got the funds to do that. To be completely honest with you, though, I have never used one. I've never needed to. I don't necessarily think that means they're not good and they can't benefit from, you can't benefit from them, but I have not ever needed to use them before. I've had some friends who've used them. I think they're kind of the case of, depending on what you're trying to do, if you're building an authority site, it's the value of your really powerful content that's going to bring in the valuable authority links. If you're sort of building a site that's, you know, a small niche and just a player in the market, not necessarily an authority, then lower quality incoming links is all you really need, and then perhaps using a service like that is warranted. It never really hurts unless they're a bad company and they go and get you some sort of negative impact in the SEO because they get you too many links at once or something like that. But if you choose a reputable company, that shouldn't happen. However, you got to be clear. This is not a tactical decision. This is a strategic decision. Because it needs to fit into where you're going with your overall strategy, and then you decide whether it's the best tactic to apply to get that outcome. So, have a good think about what you're trying to do and where you want this site to end up, and then think if that's the best way to go about doing it.
Okay. My next question is, I'm planning to... I'm going to have to stick with the theme, Gideon, because but I can make some changes to the theme. I'm moving towards having not just a blog site, but a blog slash info product site. So eventually the blog will be more of a marketing tool than the only thing. So I add a page for the product, and I'm going to start off with the ebook. And I was wondering, do you think it's necessary for just say a $20 ebook to have a squeeze page, or do you think a sales page is sufficient for like a $20 ebook?
Yeah, I think it depends on your overall strategy of how you want to run this. The way that we do it is to look at our blogs as the hub, the traffic hub, and that's our main tool for generating traffic and for building our list. And because our blogs, they're the hub and they attract all the traffic, that allows us to then send that traffic to any page of our choice. So that's the way that we teach. That's the way we think it works best for what we're doing in terms of building an authority blog and then bouncing off that traffic to whatever products you might want to sell. So that'll be the starting point. But we also have separate pages for our products that has squeeze pages for those products. So, for example, if you look at Blog Mastermind, if you go to blogmastermind.com, that's obviously a different URL to entrepreneursjourney.com, that you'll see a squeeze page there where people can sign up for the Blog Profits Blueprint. But the traffic comes from the blog, so the blog is still the hub, and the main focus of the blog really is to build traffic, to build the list, and to build a relationship with the people on that list. That's the key thing there, and from there you can do magic. And it doesn't, you can have your You can build your list from your blog as well, of course. So you could have that same opt-in form on your blog as you have on your squeeze page. But if you look at Yara's example, he's got multiple free reports, so and multiple opt-in pages. But he's decided to focus on the blog profits blueprint for building his list on his blog. So it comes down to really how you want to structure this. If you just want to use this blog more as a, an advertisement, then it's quite a different format that you'll have to use. But if you want to use it as your traffic source, your traffic hub, that's what needs to be the focus.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. But I thank you both for the feedback, so I can make some changes to the blog.
Yeah, no, I think some of the things that I really like about your blog and about your content is that I think you're writing really good headings. That's often something that I see in blogs where it really lacks. People don't know how to write good headings. And I think you really need to capitalize on that. You know, when people come to your blog and they can see your nice headings, that's going to draw them in and get them to click on it and want to read the rest of your content. So see if you can somehow bring that out more in your blog theme, so that people can very quickly, you know, get to the information that they're after.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, Brandy. You still there, Yara?
I am, Brandy. Interesting you made that. Thanks, Brandy, that last comment, because it relates, I think, to this final question in the forum that Diane snuck in. She must have made it while we were live on the call. So she's asking, my question is, I need traffic. I'm posting on other blogs. Every post I'm tweeting and putting on Facebook fan page, etc. I'm really only getting about 20 visits a day on a good day. What do you recommend? My website is www.theantiagingartist.com. I will have an opt-in box with a free 4-part video report and newsletter up in about a week. But if nobody's coming to the blog, then what? Advice, please, Diane. So, I went to theantiagingartist.com, and I remember your site, Dan. I've been here before, so I must have been on a previous call. I can't remember, but I think Gideon's comment on good headlines really applies here, because I just had a quick cruise through your homepage and read the titles. You've got Divine Discontent, A Walk in the Park, Winter Recipe Love, Monday Night Yoga, Manhattan Fish Chowder. So reading those titles, I'm not sure if your site is a recipe site or a yoga site. And then I read Divine Discontent, so a personal development site. Regardless of all these things, none of those headlines are very compelling. They don't really give a curiosity. They don't tell you much about what the article is about. There's no real call to action there. So you really could benefit tremendously, I think, from writing much better headline. So I'd spend a bit of training time there, doing a bit of research on headline writing and help yourself, if you're writing the headlines for your blog, of course, to improve those. Winter Recipe Love, that could be how to create a fantastic muesli that will keep you warm in winter. I'm not sure what that actual article is about, but that's a much better headline for it. So, and that will help you in the search engines. That's one of the things I'm trying to get to here. If you want more traffic and I think you're writing regular content, by the looks of things, there's at least a stream of content. Hopefully every one or two days you've got something new coming out. The headlines are going to be what the search engine articles pull up as well. Not the search engine articles, the search engine results pages pull up. So a person who searches for an answer to something and then they see the headline, Divine Discontent, there's not a lot of correlation there. So you're going to be not only impacting the likelihood of someone reading your article on your blog, but also clicking from Google and finding the content at your blog, because Divine Discontent does not grab my attention. You know, something like what I learned on my Monday night yoga class absolutely changed my life, something like that. And that, you know, that's more curious, a better hook. So a little bit of work in that area, I think, is definitely one of the first things. Gideon, are you at this site? I'm going to just have a dig around as well for any more traffic tips.
I noticed that you started to get into video in a big way, and I think you sent me a personal message about your video, and I checked it out. Well done, first of all, taking action. I think that's the first step. Just often getting video online is, you know, the biggest stumbling block is just getting it done and getting past the technical issues. So you've done that, so good stuff. I think if you if that is one of your focuses, that could definitely bring you a lot more extra traffic. One thing I'd recommend, for optimizing the video more on your blog, is to either have it like a videos page, with in your menu items at the top, so that people can quickly get to videos if they're more visual. Another thing I'd do is, if you do have videos and that's part of your main content, to make it appear above the fold of your computer screen. So, for example, if I just go to your website, the first time I see it, I don't see any videos there. Now, if I don't know that there's a video down further, I might just click away. Say if I'm a really visual person, I'm just going to click away. But if I do happen to see a video there, because I've been trained to click on videos, I might click on it and just watch it because that's how visual people are, and you'll have a lot of visual people online these days. And that'll definitely help you get extra views and extra traffic, extra exposure, help you build the relationship more, and certainly in the end help you grow your traffic to your site as well. So I'm not sure if you can move things around a little bit for your theme to make it more obvious that you have video. One thing you could do is do what Yaro does on his sidebar, is to have one of your sidebars is a display of your latest video, and make sure that it's above the fold so that people can easily see that when they log in onto your site, and they can just click on it and watch it. So that's one nice way of bringing it right up there. Those are my tips for now.
Diana, yeah, I'm hesitant to give you much else because I think I'd like to see you focus almost all your time on headline writing. I'm trying to dig through your history of content, and I'm finding it quite difficult. I can browse by category, but I don't have any way to just go back easily just on a blog where I could see the most recent post at the top, and then as I scroll down the page, seeing older content, and then clicking back to the next page before that and the next page before that. So I'm not sure your homepage doesn't give me that sort of function. It's obviously a magazine-style design for your blog, which is fine. It's just making it difficult. So I think if you could get that articles archive page set up, I'm not sure I can even find a sitemap to see how many articles you've written. So beyond categories, I don't see any way to go back through your old posts. So that's making it difficult for me to assess what you've written so far. But I think, yeah, by far, number one, spend some time on headlines. That's going to help you tremendously. Get good at that. That's a skill you're going to need for the rest of your life as you're working online. So that's an area to definitely spend some time getting better at. And once you've done that, see what the impact is over the next few weeks. I'd like to know how much you're writing on a daily basis or weekly basis. And once you get good at headlines, the next step is to actually go into the search engines and do some research into what headlines people actually use to find the kind of content you're writing, and see if you can make sure you're matching the exact phrases they're putting into the search engines to help start pulling more of that search traffic to your site. But yeah, some of this is a bit of a war of attrition too, so you just got to keep at it for long enough. But really, the more you can get on top of your headlines, the better you stand for the future and getting more out of your content as you write it. So I would definitely look at that as a major constraint at the moment for the growth of your site in general, across the board. So work on that next. Okay, going to a live question.
Yay.
Oh, it's Joy. Hi,
hey,
Yara
Joy.
And Gideon.
Hi, Joy.
I'm sorry, I'm having so much fun in this chat room that we are just having a great time over there.
This is Joy the singer.
This is Joy the singer. Yes, it
and
is.
It's healthy. Wow.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you guys that when I started with you back in June of 2009, I was so swamped and didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm gradually getting better. But I remember something that Yarrow had said that just was like a light bulb for me back then, and it was to outsource things. So I just want you to know, I think, Yarrow, I had tweeted you or something once about, and you had so nicely written back saying about Tyrone and the mass outsourcing. So I have been taking that class. Very helpful. Fabulous. I hired my first Philippine person last week, and they're doing a great job. I'm just thrilled. And I'm just kind of knocking things down, and the whole mindset is changing. I haven't gotten so far with the two programs, but I always come back to you. I always come back to your foundations. I always do that. And I have to say, you guys are so inspirational. And anybody who really wants to figure this out, if they just stick with it, they're going to get it. So, Brandy, on your site, you know, I mentioned your picture. Put your picture on there. You're gorgeous. You know, let them see who you are. And just do everything that Yarrow and Gideon are telling you, because they really have the track record and they know what they're doing. And don't worry if you feel like you've put all that time and effort in. I can't even tell you how much time and effort I'd put in. But the fabulous thing is that the mindset changes. Your whole life changes. And so first, I just want to say thanks to you guys for that. Now, here's my question. When do you decide that it's time to put a forum up on your blog?
Thank you for that wonderful feedback.
Thank you.
Everyone, you should start your questions by praising us. It's the best way. Joy, I've been asked this question a lot, and it's a fairly easy one to answer, I find, because what people do is they underestimate the amount of work required to get a forum actually active. And in fact, my own public forum is still what I would consider a terrible forum, because it's full of a lot of spammers and very few high-quality users. The private forum is good, because obviously we've got paying members who are serious, but the free public forum that I attached to my blog, you have to have a really good hook around what you're doing. And then here's the key. You've got to get at least 5, preferably 10 people who then become devoted, absolute raving, regular participants in your forum. So they go in every day and they leave posts and they reply to other people's posts. And they're the heart of a successful forum. So until you start, that can be you, and you can attempt to do that yourself, but you need to get that core user group, the real core fans, to help carry it. And most people, when they're running blogs, they're having enough trouble maintaining a blog audience, let alone building a forum. It's like creating another business in itself. So there's a few examples which have been really good, like Steve Pavlina, for example. He switched off his comments on the blog and added a forum and told everyone just to go and participate in the forum. And boom, overnight, he had an instant community there and a huge site of, you know, several thousand users are visiting there every day and posting. That's unusual, because Steve started with a huge audience on his blog. So most people don't have that luxury. So what I would do is I'd caution starting a forum until you're absolutely happy with the growth of your blog, because usually it's a smarter thing to do is just to spend that time on keeping the blog going than adding a forum to it. There's a few times where it makes sense. One of the previous students, Fran Kerr, with her high-end health blog, she added a forum, but it wasn't necessarily a strategic decision, other than the fact that she had a lot of questions hitting her email, and that was getting overwhelming. So she needed the forum as actually a customer service solution. So that's a kind of a model that I teach. As you get going with this, is to actually have a forum so you can say, I don't do questions by email, because it's, you know, it's not a good leveraged use of your time. Instead, go post in the forum. And when, you know, in an ideal situation, you get these regular users who know almost as much as you do, and they'll actually respond to a lot of the more common questions, so you don't have to. And that's a great way to deal with customer support at the same time as getting a forum started. But there are a lot of things to get right there. You got to get those users coming in on a regular basis. You know, it's got to not detract from your blog comments. It's got to add to the community. So I guess what I'm saying is be cautious and understand that unless you have literally tens of thousands of daily unique visitors to your blog right now, it's going to be a hard slog to get that forum going.
Oh, thank you. You saved my life once again. I do not need another hard slog. So, okay, that's great. Because I read your post on your site that was done on the forum software things that you had mentioned, and there's really kind of a funny thing in there about that you had a friend or someone that was making up, or you had suggested making
fake
up
personalities. Yeah.
I don't think I can do that. I think I have enough personalities of my own that I need to do that. Okay, you guys, I want to thank you again. I'm so happy that I'm still part of all of this. I just keep slogging away and very focused. And you guys have been a great, great stimulus for that. And I can never say thank you enough.
Well, no problem, Joy.
Anytime. Joy, before you go, I'm just checking out your singingmastermind.com website. I really love it. And I really think that you're probably still doing this, and you're probably going to get your outsourcing person from the Philippines to do this for you. But I think you're in a really good stage to add an opt-in box at the top right-hand side of your website. And if you don't have like a report or anything yet, you can already just create like a newsletter style thing where you send people links to the videos that you already have. You know, that
right.
would be very easy. That's what we did with when I did the project with JJ with Street Magic Mastery or Free Magic Life. We didn't have a free report at the start, and all we did was we would just send people to the videos we were creating on YouTube, you know, and as part of a newsletter, and that helped, you know, get people sign up right from the beginning already.
I really appreciate that. What I've been doing is this is one of the things I'm doing, as you know. But the Sing Baby Sing, the focus on the young mothers and the pregnant women and the nurses and all that, there's such a huge, and I mean huge market there that is constantly turning over. What I've had my Philippine person do is take the old Sing Baby Sing site, even though I have a link on the Singing Mastermind, it's a Sing Baby Sing, but it's not really to the site. It's just, you know, I put something in there. But I'm working on not an e-book, but I'm calling it an e-guide. For that other site that is how to sing to your babies, because people just don't seem to know how to do that too well. And they're afraid of it. They, you know, sing off pitch or this or that. And so I'm actually taking the book that I'm writing for that and taking the suggestions you guys have given is utilizing the things that are being in the book that I'm writing and just create the free report. So before I started on the conference call tonight, I was looking at ways to do an ebook and, you know, kind of looking at how many words and the outline and sort of this, I guess it's the strategy of it's the format of how you bring people in, telling the story and that sort of thing. So I'm going to do that, but I hadn't thought about putting something here on Singing Mastermind. So what you're saying, Gideon, is a little newsletter thing. You mean like an AWeber type opt-in thing with?
Yeah, just simply an AWeber form that says, hey, sign up for my newsletter. Well, I'll give you some cool singing tips. And every week I'll send you an email with a video where I teach you something cool.
Okay. So, because I'm planning to do many more videos because I'm happier with videos.
Yeah.
I just have fun with them. But so you're saying like push down on the side with the widget area, just push that Twitter thing down. I don't really care for that, but put the little opt-in box above the Twitter box is what you're saying.
Yeah, let me just go back there. I think you'll have more value there if you have an opt-in box there.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, we'll see what I can get going on that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Marshall, start building your list. All the best.
Thank you.
Yara, I'm not sure if it's the same for everyone else, but it seems like your voice comes through really soft right at the beginning of you speaking.
Yeah,
every time.
Same with you, Gideon. I've noticed that as soon as someone starts, it seems to take. It's only you and me though. It's not the callers. So
yeah, okay.
I'm not sure if that's because we're both not at our microphones, and then we go to our microphone and start talking, or it's something to do with the system, but anyway, I'll
probably
it's our last caller, so here we go.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I am Isaac from Mexico, and my website or my blog is lifeissimpler.com. And, well, I am really new at this, at blogging, and I have been following your lessons, Jaro, and, well, I would like you to check my blog just to have some review, some feedback. I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, well, what was your address again? What was the website address?
Okay, it is lifeissimpler.com.
Okay.
Okay, and well, just please give me your feedback, or you guys both, and I will also have another question. So
okay.
Please go on.
Yeah, with the feedback, is there a specific goal you have in mind?
Well, I have been blogging for just one month, so I would like to hear something about the content, about the design, I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever you can say.
All right. Well, first thing is I love the congruency between the simple design and the simple obviously topic. So that's really like, you know, I landed this site and I can read the title, I can read the content, I can scroll back and read your old articles. Love that. You know, I don't want to Brandy, her website, you know, as you can see the difference in the designs here. So I'm not necessarily one's better than another, but certainly one's better at doing something compared to the other one. So in this case, my eyes went straight to the first blog topic you've got there, 3 rules to be healthy while working hard. So I really like that. Obviously, I'm probably a bit biased here because I think some of this looks similar to my site. So a lot of this is personal preference, but you can definitely see the simplicity in design here and the much easier it is to read the content. The only thing I could think of straight away was just the subscription area. Subscribe to Life is Simpler. Why? Why subscribe to Life is Simpler? You know, give me a reason why. I always give a justification. It works better.
Okay.
So I'm assuming because your subheading is "But we work hard to complicate it," I'm assuming this is a personal development sort of what do they call that, like life hacker, kind of life efficiency kind of website. Yep. So
yes.
You could perhaps have a more clearer indication of that, but I think because of your subject titles is so obvious, it's going to become clear what this site is very quickly. So yeah, it's hard for me not to like this. I think you're using the same font as me too. So that's great. Let me check out some of your content. Anything while I'm looking at the content, Gideon, go ahead and throw it in there.
Yeah, I would echo that as well. I like the layout. It's nice and simple. It's very quick and easy to see the content, so I can very quickly scroll and decide what I want to read. So if I don't like the first article, I can check out the second one, and my eyes can really, you know, go there very quickly to see that. So I think this is a good example of, like, if the purpose of the page is for me to absorb the content, I think this is a good example because I can very quickly see and scan what I want to read and then go into the deeper if I want to. Another thing you could do to increase your opt-ins for your newsletter is to, I know it's ugly, but you can, instead of having a gray dotted line outside, you can make it black, you know, make it more prominent. And if you want to have something even more powerful, add a video, you know, record a little video on YouTube with you, just your face, and where you tell people why they need to sign up and what the newsletter is about, what are they going to get. So have both a nice little headline like that, and also a little video if you want to improve that even further. You can look for an example at Free Magic Live. This is where I used a video just to give you some ideas. freemagiclive.com. So you'll see on the right hand side there's a box there. I used to have a black dotted outline for the box, but my business partner said it looked too ugly, so I said okay, I'll I'll take it away. But if it was up to me, I would keep the ugly dotted box there. So just it pulls the attention. Your eye immediately goes there, even though it's ugly.
I think an article archives page. You're probably getting to that since you've only just started. But again, there's a problem here where you can only really dig into your archives through categories. So having a tab in the navigation bar at the top that said articles and highlighting all your content, or at least your best content, once you start producing lots more underneath the categories there, we just make it easier to scroll through everything at once. So I think is important. But to be honest, you know, you've got a fantastic starting point for a content-based website here. You know, really, everything we're going to tell you, we're talking marginal incremental increase in performance, which is good if you keep doing it. But the real leverage point is the consistency and the value of your content. So I guess what we should ask you is, how do you know this stuff? Like, where are you coming up with your ideas for your content?
Well, I have... The thing is that I really love this topic, and I have been reading a lot for a long time, no? Since I left the university, which was around 5 years ago. So I love these kind of topics, and I have a lot of information. I have been reading a lot, so I hope I will be able to continue or to keep doing or producing this content.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. It sounds like if you've got a passion for the subject, then you have no problem putting out content on a daily basis. So if I was to tell you what I think you should do is the design, it's great. Don't worry too much about that. You know, you're going to have to start adding things, maybe like advertising eventually, an articles page, maybe a hover pop-up once you got a newsletter or a free report or something like that. But really, right now, focus on getting all that stuff that's inside your brain into the blog on a daily basis, which it looks like you're doing already or almost daily, get to, you know, pick a forum. I think would be your best bet right now. Go find a forum that talks about this stuff and go in there and start building your profile in there as well. Like respond to comments, to threads with your wisdom, you know, start new posts. Make sure it's a forum that allows you to have a signature. And do that on a daily basis. So, you know, in a couple of months' time, you'll have a reputation in that forum, and you'll start to see traffic coming back to your site. And if you can, maybe try and start a guest writing strategy as well. There's quite a few websites in this niche. You could go to try and get some guest content published. Zen Habits, obviously Lifehacker, Zen Habits. There's lifehack.org. Some of these are obviously larger sites. You could go to the smaller individual personal development sites. Paul Petrowski was in this program, and he writes in this area. And I don't know if you've got it already, but there was an interview I did with him, and he grew his site almost entirely off the back of his participation in the Steve Pavlina forum. So he built a big profile there, and the spinoff was lots of traffic back to his blog. And he writes a similar subject to you. It's not quite life hacks. It's personal development around the area of money. So that's his niche. So, but yeah, it's a great niche. It's just a case of whether you have something unique to say compared to everyone else and being able to say it in as many places as you can. That's what's going to define your success with this blog.
Okay. Do you think it is better, or it should be better to write or to post in forums rather than in blogs? Because I have been doing some commenting on blogs.
Well, there's no rule I can give you here. I think they both can work. I often like forums because it's a trade-off. The forums, often your subject can be drowned very quickly. So, you know, you write a thread and it disappears to the second page within a matter of hours or even minutes on the most popular forums. But if you get one thread there that gets popular, it can lead to a lot of discussion and a chance for you to really demonstrate yourself, because, you know, you can post multiple times. The same thing can happen in a blog. So really, you should just test this. Go out there and see which ones bring back more traffic to your site. And you know, if you've got the time, do both. There's no rules with this. guest writing, though, is going to do the most for you at the moment in terms of getting traffic straight back to your site. So if you really want a high leverage way, try and get as much guest content out there as you can, and you'll get lots of traffic back to your site. But while you're doing all of this, don't let the content on your own blog stop, because you will start to see, you know, I don't know how old your site is, but give it two weeks to 2 months, and you'll start seeing that search traffic coming in, and it's only going to get better and better as you write more on this subject, because you'll build authority and you'll demonstrate your value. So yeah, good stuff.
Okay, thank you. And well, I have been, this blog is just less than 1 month old. So my other question is about affiliate programs, because I've been following your lessons, and I am in lesson 5, I think, or something. And in that lesson, you mentioned about affiliate products. You said that we should look for some product and write an article about that product. But I'm not sure if I should actually publish this article or wait until I have more traffic.
I recommend waiting if you're okay with that. As a rule, I don't think you should promote something until you've got at least 500 either subscribers or daily unique visitors. Just because it's a distraction if you start going after money. It depends how desperate you are. You know, if you really do need to start seeing some dollars coming in, you could write a really good review of an ebook on this subject from ClickBank, and it might get a few sales. But sales are a function of audience. So if you don't have an audience yet, then you might get no sales, and you might just be wasting your time or be disappointed, and you're better off waiting until you have an audience.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Okay. Great
okay,
stuff.
Thank
though.
You
keep
very much, guys.
Keep us updated.
Okay, thank
Life
you.
LifeIsSimpler.com.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that's on the 2-hour mark, so I think it's a great time to wrap this up. We've done all the questions live and all the questions from the forum, so that's fantastic. Gideon, any last words before we wrap up?
I've just entered a little bit of text in the text chat room, just like the quote that you used there, sales are a function of audience. I think that is really the bottom line. If you can't build an audience, then you cannot make money online. And I think the sort of stuff that we're teaching here in terms of blogging and what I'm teaching with my online video courses is that, you know, if you can build traffic, free traffic especially, and using the methods that we teach, that's like the holy grail. You can build traffic, you can build your list. If you can build your list, you can have product promotions. You can have product promotions, you can start making money. So it's the stuff works. It's all good stuff. So I love that little bit of text you said there, Yarrow. Love it.
Thanks, Gideon. I love being quoted. So that's awesome. Thanks for those words of wisdom there at the end, too. So great stuff, guys. Thank you, everyone who joined us and stuck with us for the entire 2 hours. The next call for next month is already in the teleconference schedule there, so you can add that to your calendar and make sure you don't miss it. If you do have any feedback on the time zones on these calls, we do like to move them around. So we have, through experimentation, found that this time seems to get the majority of people. Unfortunately, we do miss some people who are asleep. So, you know, we do like to give everyone a chance. So if you have a suggestion on what time you'd like to see us do a call, as long as we're not sleeping, we'll try and make the adjustment for you guys in future calls. So that's it. The recording will be up in a couple hours after this call wraps up. And good luck, everyone, over the next few weeks with your blogging and your internet marketing and all that. And can't wait to speak to you. So as a tradition, I will unmute the line now at the end of this call, and you're all welcome to say goodbye, shout out where you're from, anything you like, and then the call will end. So thanks, everyone. Speak to you next time. Thanks, Gideon, too.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Janice from Montreal.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.